Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How then do we live that life that was just read to us from Colossians chapter 3? The possibilities and enabling of all of that is from the verses just prior to it. For it is there it talks again about our baptism and the power that God has given us, enabling us to live a life that is in Christ. The basis for our short message this morning is indeed from Colossians chapter 3, the third verse prior to our reading for today. Your real life is Christ. A legal firm in Philadelphia opened up a branch office in Baltimore. They wired flowers for the opening and open house. When they went down to visit the open house, they discovered that the banner across the flowers said, "Deepest sympathy." When they called the florist to apprise him of his mistake, the florist over the phone said, "Good heavens, that means that the flowers that went to the funeral said, 'Congratulations on your new location.'" I would like to congratulate you on a new life. A new life that began with a funeral. Your funeral. A funeral that we're reminded of by Paul in his second chapter to the Colossians when he said, "You are buried with Christ in your baptism, and you rise again to a new life in him." And once again, as he begins this third chapter of Colossians, he says, "You have been raised to life with Christ. Therefore, you're enabled to set your hearts on things that are above and to set your mind on Christ, for your real life is Christ." Knowing that you and I have a new life because we have died in our baptism and risen again with Christ and by Christ and through Christ, and that the faith that is in us is a faith that was empowered by God Himself through that baptism, we rejoice today in our death. We rejoice today in our funeral. We rejoice today in our baptism, because our real life, because of it, is in Christ. And we can boldly proclaim that life. And in the words of our reading for today, we can boldly live that life. It's important for us to realize that that is a God-given life that we have. It's a God-given life that is because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were dead to sin. We were dead in sin. We were by nature enemies of God. We were sitting in darkness. We were going in an entirely different direction. And then we were called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Jesus said to us, just as He said to Lazarus, "Come forth. Come out of that darkness. Come out of that grave. Come out and know that I am God. Come out and know that I am the resurrection and the life." A God-given life that is ours because of Christ Jesus. He rescued us from what we call sin, death, and the devil, and all of those things that controlled our lives, and all of those things that by nature we were because of sin. That's the God-given life that is ours in our baptism. Buried with Christ and risen to a new life. And that is what enables us to fix our minds and our hearts on things above, as Paul tells us in Colossians. Our purpose, the whole sphere of influence of his whole third chapter of Colossians, is focused on our baptism. That we were buried with Christ and we rise again to a new life. And Christ is the center of that universe in which we live. And he is the focus upon which we are enabled to live our lives morally and in every way in Christ himself. Keep your mind fixed on things above. Our purpose in living is Christ himself. in our life, in our home, in our churches, in our communities, wherever we may be, our sphere of influence is the Christ with whom we were buried and the Christ with whom we rose again with his resurrection. And that's why we as a church, with all boldness, tell everyone what he has done. We boldly proclaim the new life that is ours. We boldly communicate the gospel of Christ with others. Tomorrow you begin your 9th Mission and Communications Congress. Communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ is what we are about as men of God, sharing the good news of Christ with others. Communicate the cross of Jesus Christ, the great I love you of God. My favorite story about communication and communicating the cross is the couple, recently married, both young, both working, different shifts. And their way of communicating with one another was a way in which a lot of us communicate with each other. The chalkboard on the refrigerator. Messages, basically, of chores to be done around the house. One particular morning, the husband wrote his message on the chalkboard. That afternoon, the wife came home from work and wrote her message on the chalkboard. And the next morning, they were able to have breakfast together for the first time in a long time, and the husband looked across the kitchen table and said to his wife, "I don't think you read my message yesterday, honey." And she said, "I thought I did." And so they both looked over at the refrigerator, and there was the chalkboard with the messages, and across the top was his message, "I love you." And across the bottom was her message, "Garbage." Sometimes we don't communicate well. And even sometimes when we do communicate well, the great "I love you" of God, people's response is garbage. It's ironic, or perhaps on purpose, that Jesus Christ was crucified outside the city walls of Jerusalem on a great mound, which we think was the local landfill of Jerusalem. Jesus was buried and crucified on top of the garbage heap, the place the Romans chose to crucify the malefactors. And on top of that pile of garbage, it was where Jesus Christ said his great "I love you." "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He said several other things on that cross. One of them was, "It is finished. The task is complete. I have come to do and have done what I needed to do. I have torn down the barriers. The curtain is torn. I have brought back together the whole world to my heavenly Father by this death on a cross." And that's what enabled him to say, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And that's what empowered him 3 days later to leave that tomb. And that's what has empowered us as Easter people to communicate that because he lives, we shall live also. To boldly proclaim the great "I love you" of God to us in Christ Jesus. And to know and recognize that the joy of that resurrection is now and forever. You and I have the best view of Easter. We can look back and know that Christ rose from the dead as an historical event. And we can look forward and know that a day will come when we will join him and all of the heavenly host in praising God for all that he has done for us. And we can comfort people with the words that those who believe in Christ as their Savior will never see each other for the last time. That's what we communicate in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that by our baptism we were buried with him and we rose again to a new life. It is the greatest story we can ever tell, and it was the greatest story ever told. Remember that movie? I particularly like that movie about the life of Christ, as old as it is, in black and white, because of the ending of that film. The ending of that film, like many others about the life of Christ, is on Easter Sunday. You are inside the tomb. It's basically dark in the screen, and you're sitting in that darkness, and you're looking out into the opening of the tomb, and you can see in the distance two disciples running, probably to tell that he's not there anymore. And then across the screen, do not come the familiar words, "the end," but across the screen comes the words, "the beginning." And that's what our baptism is all about. We have been called out of that burial place of darkness where we were buried with him into the bright light of his resurrection. And we are like those two disciples running to tell the world and living our lives so the world will know that we were buried with Christ and have risen with him, and that they too can rise to a new life in Christ Jesus. We boldly proclaim it, because you and I, as we remember our baptism every day, remind ourselves that your real life is Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.